Please follow and like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram just before we get deplatformed. And be sure to subscribe to the official Project Censored Show on your digital tethering devices podcast application. Please feel free to contact us, share your feedback, or learn more about our work at projectcensored.org, and see our new publishing imprint, The Censored Press, at censoredpress.org. To learn more about my work or to contact me specifically, please visit my website at artkillingapathy.com. You can also follow me on social media at Radical Eleanor. Last but not least, thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Can't imagine a world without oppressive forces slaving for almighty dollar bills. We won. We got the love of the Thought Brothers and our sisters. We won. The people together can overthrow the system. We won. We got that love of the Thought Brothers and your sisters. We won. The people together can overthrow the system. We won. We got the love of the Thought Brothers and our sisters. We won. The people together can overthrow the system. We won. We got the love of the Thought Brothers and our sisters. We won. The people organized can build the kind of future we want. Stable times, stakes high, unthinkable crimes perpetrated by criminal minds. Political ties, habitualized alibis, disguised under the guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison. Genocide, wars, fall for little boys. And the weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons, build the capacity, citizens. And the times when the master thief can find and conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Time's running out the reach.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio.
That's Doc Watson, one of the many artists you can hear on the Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, when we share a wide variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music with you from 5:30 to 7 a.m. Each week, your hosts Dan Schrammack and Stephen Morrison bring you some of our favorite new releases and plenty of vintage favorites. It's a great way to start your Fridays, discover some new music, and find out about shows and festivals coming to the area. You can also find show playlists and listen to archive shows on demand via our website at kboo.fm and also via our free mobile app. That's the Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, where you hear a variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music from 5:30 to 7, right here on KBOO. We hope you'll join us.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are diving into the art of seeing both sides of the coin. Have you ever been so convinced you're right about something, only to later realize you are missing an entire side of the story? It happens to all of us. We get comfortable in our own experiences, opinions, and beliefs, seeing the world through a lens shaped by our past. But what if we took a step back and considered another perspective, one that challenges our assumptions, expands our thinking, and maybe even changes the way we see the world? Today, we're exploring the power of looking at both sides of the coin, recognizing that understanding isn't just about what we know, but also about what we're willing to learn. Imagine standing in a hallway lined with doors. Each one represents a different perspective, a new way of seeing the same issue. The more doors you open, the more complete your understanding becomes. But if you only stand at one door, insisting that what you see is all there is, you miss out on the full picture. Learning to explore different viewpoints isn't about giving up your own beliefs. It's about strengthening them by exposing them to new information. It's about building bridges instead of walls, seeking connection over conflict, and embracing curiosity over certainty. So let's dive in, open our minds, and discover how seeing both sides of a story can lead to a deeper, more meaningful understanding of the world around us. To kick things off, let's clarify what it means to see both sides. It's about being open-minded, empathetic, and willing to consider perspectives beyond our own. This involves understanding that our viewpoint is just one among many, and that others' experiences shape their beliefs and opinions. By acknowledging this, we can foster deeper connections and make more informed decisions. Now, let's make it personal. It's one thing to understand the concept of seeing both sides of the story, but how often do we actually put it into practice? Too often, we dig our heels in, standing firm on our beliefs, convinced that we have all the facts. But true understanding comes when we step outside of our own perspective and challenge ourselves to see things from a different angle. So, let's test your ability to do just that with a simple but powerful exercise. Think about a recent disagreement or debate you had, big or small. It could be a conversation about politics, yikes, a heated family discussion, oops, a workplace conflict, ouch, or even a difference in opinion over where to go for dinner. Now, write down your perspective on the issue. Be honest. Why did you feel so strongly about your stance? What facts, feelings, or experiences shaped your opinion? Now comes the challenge. Flip the script and argue the other side. Even if you don't agree with it, try to express the opposing viewpoint in a way that someone who holds that belief would recognize as fair and accurate. What are their reasons? What experiences might have led them to this perspective? What are the strongest arguments for their side? The goal here isn't to change your mind, but to stretch your thinking. If you struggle to articulate the opposing view, that might be a sign that you haven't truly considered it before. Want an extra challenge? Try this exercise with a friend or family member, someone who sees things differently than you do. Ask them to explain their viewpoint and listen without interrupting or formulating your counter-argument in your head. Instead, summarize what they said to confirm you understood them correctly. This technique, called reflective listening, not only builds understanding, but also fosters respect in conversations, even when you don't agree. By practicing this mental shift, we train ourselves to approach conversations with curiosity instead of defensiveness. And who knows? You might just find that seeing both sides helps you refine, strengthen, or even expand your own perspective in ways you never expected. McKenna Schuler shares the importance of listening to both sides of an argument. Choose to ignore the side of the argument you don't agree with only weakens your own. This is found at the Odyssey online. When it comes to arguments, I'm passionate about my automatic reaction in the face of opposition, which is to flee. Scroll past it, exit the tab, or fast walk past the mess. Listening to an opposing side of an argument can be very uncomfortable, especially if it's one that touches on something very personal to you or is being argued in an aggressive manner, enough to make you not want to look into it at all. But then, why is it important to force yourself to investigate where the opposition is coming from? Biased arguments risk a loss of credibility. I'm biased, you're biased, no need to deny it, but there are times and places it is not necessarily in your best interest to allow your bias to present itself like some flashy neon sign. Depending on the forum in which you're expressing your argument, Twitter or a chemistry class, Your bias has the power to either garner support from those who already agree with you or earn disdain from those who are already looking for a reason to invalidate whatever you're saying. Obviously, that's a problem. You want to be taken seriously. Even in satirical argumentative pieces, I would venture to think there's at least some small hope that the audience will extract some morsel of truth from what they may otherwise consider a humor piece. When it comes to these issues that you feel passionate about, even if you want to be taken seriously, you need to be informed on both sides of the issue, or the gray area in between, if relevant. That doesn't mean you need to Google every news piece, commenting on whether trigger warnings should be implemented in university classrooms or not, but it's a good idea to figure out the primary points being expressed from either side. Or it may lead you to modifying your argument some, either because you've realized you weren't expressing something clearly enough, or you weren't aware of all the facts. The danger of reading extremely biased articles or listening to a biased speaker is the chance of being fed misinformation. Unfortunately, not everyone is honorable enough to not use whatever mischievous tactic they can find to get others to follow them. Furthermore, if this did happen and you went on to cite their misinformation to support your own argument, it would lessen your credibility as well as reassert the unreliability of theirs. This is only if the source isn't trying to address both sides themselves. They, as well as you, don't need to agree with both sides or remain objective in their stance on the matter. But cherry-picking things that only work to strengthen your side of the argument can actually hurt it. However, if you read rebuttals or listen to people who have just as much stock in their oppositional argument as you have in yours, you can gain a new perspective. You can see where the opposition is coming from and modify it to strengthen your own argument in a way that can better address your points. Once you take the time to assess the points of people who think differently than you, if you decide afterward that you're still satisfied with your argument as it is, the information is still useful. There may be times you're not in the right headspace to face the naysayers, the haters, or any other name for the opposition. Not every person asserting their argument online or even in person does so respectfully. And I use respectfully loosely in this case, meaning no death threats, slurs, or other personal attacks. There are days that I may post something controversial online or text someone something that I'm not sure how they'll react to, and afterward decide to wait some time before looking at any replies. We've all been there. Sometimes we need to take a breather. Letting yourself decompress might actually save you from responding to them in an aggressive or angry way that you'll later regret. Remember, not every response can be edited or deleted. Arguments aren't just one-sided, as much as we might sometimes wish they were. If they were only made up of one side, it would be so much easier to win, right? But such is life, and facing perspectives different from your own is part of that. Even if you feel other perspectives are harmful and perpetuate hateful ideas that you just can't understand on a personal level. Recognizing that there are two sides to every story is one thing, but actually applying this mindset in your daily life? That's where the real challenge begins. It's easy to nod along and agree that being open-minded is important, but when emotions run high, we default to what we know, our own perspective. So how do we make this shift stick? How do we train ourselves to pause, consider, and genuinely entertain other viewpoints before we react? That's a great question. So let's break it down into a few practical steps. Number one, pause before reacting. When faced with a disagreement or an opposing viewpoint, your instinct might be to immediately defend your position. But before you jump in, take a beat. Ask yourself, do I really understand where this person is coming from? Instead of seeing the conversation as a battle where one person wins and the other loses, reframe it as an opportunity to learn. Even if you still disagree in the end, you'll walk away with a deeper understanding of why others see things differently. Number two, get curious, not combative. One of the best ways to shift your mindset is to approach conversations with genuine curiosity. Instead of thinking, how can I prove them wrong? Ask yourself, what can I learn from this perspective? Try using phrases like, that's interesting. Can you tell me more about why you feel that way? I hadn't considered that before. What led you to that conclusion? I see where you're coming from. Here's how I've been thinking about it. This small tweak in how you approach conversations can make a huge difference in fostering open and productive discussions. Number three, engage with different perspectives on purpose. We naturally seek out information that reinforces what we already believe. This is called confirmation bias. To challenge this, make a conscious effort to expose yourself to different viewpoints. Read articles or listen to podcasts that present perspectives different from your own. Follow thought leaders with opposing views, not to argue with them, but to understand where they're coming from. When we broaden our inputs, we sharpen our ability to think critically and form well-rounded opinions. Number four, reflect on your own biases. None of us like to admit it, but we all have biases. They come from our upbringing, our experiences, and the environments we're exposed to. To truly embrace multiple perspectives, we need to do some self-examination. Ask yourself, have I dismissed an opinion just because it didn't align with mine? Do I avoid certain topics or people because they challenge my beliefs? Am I listening to understand or just waiting for my turn to speak? Self-awareness is key to making lasting changes in how we engage with the world. Number five, practice empathy in everyday life. Seeing both sides isn't just about debates and big discussions. It's about how we relate to people in general. Next time you're in traffic, instead of fuming at the person who just cut you off, consider what might be happening in their life. When a coworker seems short-tempered, rather than assuming they're rude, wonder what stressors they might be dealing with. Practicing empathy in small moments strengthens our ability to see beyond our own experiences. Number six, give yourself grace. Finally, understand that changing the way you think is a process. You're not going to wake up tomorrow as the most open-minded, perfectly understanding person. It takes time, effort, and practice. Openness invites openness. Understanding fosters connection. And ultimately, embracing different perspectives will make you a more thoughtful, well-rounded, and empathetic person. I have to admit that becoming self-aware doesn't happen overnight or without a little work. Have you ever told an 18-year-old, or for that matter, been an 18-year-old, who thought that you knew everything? Yeah, you can bet that individual isn't operating with self-awareness. They haven't stopped to put themselves in someone else's shoes or considered opposing views or a new perspective. Frankly, they weren't evolved enough to handle it. But opening your mind at any age only leads to a heightened sense of awareness. Have you ever noticed how it's easier to connect with people who think and act like you do? That's because our brains are wired to empathize more with those who feel familiar, our tribe. But real empathy isn't just about relating to people who remind us of ourselves. It's about stretching beyond that comfort zone and seeing things from someone else's perspective, even when their experiences are totally different from ours. That's where self-awareness comes in. When we take time to reflect, really reflect on who we are, what we believe, and where our blind spots might be, we can open the door to understanding others in a deeper way. The key? Recognizing that we don't have all the answers and that our personal experiences aren't universal. The more we check in with ourselves, the better we get at stepping into someone else's shoes. Okay, so it's a fact. We naturally empathize with people like us. Think about your friend group. Close friends, bigger friend group, whatever. Chances are you have a lot in common, like similar interests and backgrounds, ways of thinking. That's because it's easier to relate to people who share your perspective. But if we only stick to our comfort zone, we miss out on understanding the full spectrum of human experiences. It's true. Self-awareness helps us bridge the empathy gap. So imagine you're in a meeting and a coworker strongly disagrees with you. You know that's happened. What's your first instinct? Is it to defend your position? Raise your voice, get all defensive, take it outside. Just kidding. What if instead you paused and asked yourself, why do they see it this way? What experiences shaped their opinions? That moment of self-awareness can completely change how you approach the conversation. Remember, empathy isn't just a feeling. It's actually a skill. It takes a lot of effort to push past your own perspective and actively try to understand someone else's. So next time you find yourself dismissing an opposing viewpoint, ask, if I grew up in their shoes, would I feel differently? Just this small shift in thinking can lead to more open-minded and productive conversations. Humble makes us better at understanding others. Have you ever met someone who's so sure they're right that they refuse to consider another opinion? We all have. But the truth is, none of us know everything. Admitting that we might have blind spots or biases allows us to be more compassionate and fair in how we see the world. Let's say you're at a family dinner and someone makes a statement you strongly disagree with. Instead of instantly reacting, take a step back and think, what led them to believe this? Maybe their life experiences shaped them differently than yours did. Instead of arguing, ask them a question like, that's interesting. What made you come to that conclusion? You don't have to agree, but showing curiosity instead of shutting them down creates a space for real conversation. And at the end of the day, expanding our perspective isn't about giving up on our beliefs. It's about being open enough to consider new ones. And who knows? The more we listen, the more we might just learn. Melissa Wadsworth offers another angle of two sides of a coin, perspective shifts in collective consciousness found at collective manifestation. It used to be that I thought the term two sides of a coin referred to self-referenced perspective and perspective of others. In a world that uses mostly logic rather than abstraction to describe how the human mind works, this makes sense. According to this example, we should understand that there's our view of the world and their view of the world. While this can seem true at a surface level, energetically, there are subtler levels of distinction and conscious at play. I recently had an experience of consciousness that has led me to believe that the two sides of the coin are this: consciousness and unconsciousness. Both sides of the coin are perception through the lens or filter of an individual mind, yet are vastly different in how they connect to others. In unconsciousness, our view is the victim view. Things are done to us. We have good reasons to be angry. We are separate from others. Our perspective is the correct one. Reactions are fear-based. The individual cannot and will not correct mistakes or even admit to them. Any sense of apology comes from the small human mind, often based in shame and blame, rather than from one's heart, which may be closed in protection. In unconscious, I get stuck in circular thinking. Power comes from outside oneself. How to play the power game is a surface life game, a game of moving pieces. In conscious, our view is the big picture view. We acknowledge that we're in truth, not energetically separate from others. We exist in one field of creation. From this bigger perspective, we can see how our actions, world events, or local conditions affect others. We can apologize from the heart mind, from a heart that is willing to open and be vulnerable. The conscious perspective is inclusive of others. In consciousness, I can raise my head up from the inner or outer turbulence and see with more clarity the true dynamics at play. This perspective recognizes the ease in which one can correct one's mistakes of perception, can ask for grace from others, and is able to receive grace. In consciousness, we can remind ourselves that we are a vehicle for divine will and love, so our power always comes from within. So when issues arise with others, we can always pause to ask ourselves, am I being conscious or being unconscious? The power of the relationship mirror. What I've been experiencing in my relationships is that I can now see how all issues come back to something I am needing to see in myself. In the past, I might have thought, those are their issues that they need to deal with. Or, I have legitimate reasons to be annoyed. Here's my list. Now, when I look at my list of grievances, I see they all point back to an issue of unleashed trauma within myself. I can much more easily see when I project my frustrations within oneself to another. This makes it possible to see that there is no one to blame for anything. There are two sides to a coin. Both sides are one. Me, the conscious one, and me, the unconscious one. In truth, there's only that which needs to be seen, processed, and integrated as new consciousness. This level of awareness takes away any victim stories for the script of the movie I'm living. This is hugely humbling and empowering all at the same time. We often think that breakthroughs in consciousness are going to be these monumental experiences. Yet this breakthrough of perspective felt normal, like an ordinary thing, and yet I know that it is extraordinary compared to my old thinking patterns of perspective and reaction. This experience may indicate what is shifting in collective consciousness at this pivotal time, and how it can be easy to shift when we stay humble and notice when the ego is reacting. Then we can choose to step into our higher self and respond in more conscious wholeness and with more heart. Then we realize we are a conscious field. We are the field of experience we project through the filter in our minds. We connect with our mental filters to create a movie of experience. When our minds also reflect our hearts, we bring healing, harmony, and balance into the world of our experience. In consciousness, we can perceive how all experiences, individual and collective, arise from how we filter the data or information we receive. From an open heart of evolved consciousness, we realize all can be corrected, resolved, and healed in love. From a closed heart of fear, nothing can be truly healed. From victim consciousness, we only have access to a tiny part of the consciousness spectrum. It all begins with the intention to be more open-hearted and to evolve one's consciousness. So let's choose to be the open hearts through which all experience in this world flows. Let's be humble and joyful and be doorways for love and grace, peace and harmony. Such liberation or consciousness leaves us open to receive greater consciousness breakthroughs. And what a golden gift of liberation that is for all. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week.